The end of year holiday shopping season always seems to suck in a torrent of counterfeit merchandise. Everything from faux Louis Vuitton baggage to fake car tires. It's also when federal agencies charged with stopping trade in counterfeits swings into high gear. A group of federal partners team up with industry and nonprofits to warn consumers of holiday shopping scams. Bruce Focard is the acting director of the Intellectual Property Rights Center. That's part of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He explains why they've stepped up their efforts right now.
This is the time of year, as you said, that we have to step it up because so many people get duped both online as well as in, you know, we've seen counterfeits in retail stores. We don't see it as much in retail stores, but we're seeing them in kiosks and malls. Obviously, flea markets is a place where it's proliferated. But this is the time of year where people are out shopping. And the fact is, we don't want the consumer, A, to be feeding into criminal activity, which is really what's behind counterfeiting. These are criminal organizations. But B, they could be, you know, potentially buying things that could harm them down the road.
The federal government, when it goes after some of these products, you don't start at the store or street level, upstream to where a material comes into the country?
Yes, exactly. We have a very good relationship with Customs and Border Protection at the ports, at the mail facilities, for example, because most of this stuff is coming in from overseas. It's coming in from the Far East, and a lot of seizures are made. We have a targeting center that we have a great relationship with. So we do seize at the ports, maybe do a controlled delivery, which is an investigative technique. Or we may, you know, the investigation may just start out by buying some of these items in certain retail outlets or flea markets. It varies as far as how the leads come in.
This year, though, you've got a multi-agency effort that looks like there's much more coordination maybe than in years past.
We're probably been as large as we've been at the IPR Center now. We just added two more new members, federal members, law enforcement. But we've pooled our resources since about 2008. That's pretty much when we began and became extremely aggressive in this particular area, investigations and having the IPR Center in Crystal City. So we leverage our resources. Every entity that's a member, every federal agency, every regulatory agency, even our overseas partners, we have Interpol, Europol, who are partners. Everyone leverages what their assets are, and we pull them together in a concerted effort, and it just makes for good business going forward for us.
And where do most of the tips come from?
We get tips from all over. We get them from local law enforcement. We have a tip line. We have a website. The Intellectual Property Rights Center has a website in which we have what's called the button, in which someone can click on, and they can actually fill out a form about potential leads or some information that they may have. So we get our leads from all over.
And when you go after something, I mean, do you go after it at the retail level, at the shopper level, or do you try to use maybe the final street seller to move up the supply chain and try to get maybe a bigger fish?
Every investigation is different. Obviously, we would like to take down the biggest fish in your scenario with the people who are importing in the United States, as well as maybe working with foreign law enforcement to go after the people who are exporting. We have had some cooperation with the Chinese law enforcement, and we've been successful over the past year, and that's been I'm extremely optimistic about that going forward. But if we can take down a criminal organization versus maybe a mom and pop or, you know, single person that may be selling this, it's obviously better for us to dismantle something on a larger scale.
And what do you estimate is the economic value of what counterfeiting is for the United States?
You know, in 2012, the Department of Commerce came out with a document indicating that the loss of money to the United States, and this is through the loss of jobs, this is through taxes, revenue, money that gets put back into the economy, was upwards of $200 billion, which is staggering. And so there is a huge economic downfall loss to the United States, as well as other countries around the world. This is a global problem. It's not just a United States issue.
And is China the primary progenitor of all this counterfeit goods, or is it pretty much internationalized also?
Well, China is maybe 68% to 70% behind the manufacturing of these goods. A lot of it gets transshipped through Hong Kong and other places in the Far East. But yeah, they're predominantly behind a lot of this. We see pharmaceuticals now, a lot of counterfeits coming from India. But yes, it's definitely a global problem.
We're speaking with Bruce Fokart. He's the acting director of the Intellectual Property Center at Homeland Security. And so what types of items tend to be the most counterfeited? What are the most high-value items?
Well, you know, unfortunately, everything and anything that can be counterfeited will be. We have seen tires now, you know, tires that go on cars. We've seen items like safety belts, airbags, for example. Those obviously can hurt the consumer. You know, we've seen the luxury good items, the watches, you know, sporting good items, the NFL jerseys, for example, sneakers. So anything and everything. Obviously, pharmaceuticals, for example, medicines, those can obviously potentially harm the person who's buying them and going to ingest them. So that is obviously a priority of ours going forward. But again, it runs the gamut. Everything that can be counterfeited will be.
Now, you see scarves and watches and that kind of thing from street vendors, and probably nobody really thinks they're buying a Rolex. But in the case of drugs or something like a airbag for a car, how does it manage to get into the legitimate supply chain for sellers that think they're getting the original?
You know, unfortunately, you won't see them in, well, fortunately, you won't see them in, you know, the major car manufacturers. You know, if you're going to go to Honda or to Ford or whatever, they're going to use their legitimate, originally manufactured products. But maybe the mom and pop mechanics who are out there who want to save a buck and maybe charge the consumer extra will import these. So, I mean, we've seen that on a number of occasions. And you know, what we tell the consumer, it's, you know, listen, buyer beware. Here's the thing. If it looks too good, if it is too cheap, you really should question. If it's that low, the price is that low, you should question why and ask those questions to your mechanic, et cetera.
And describe a little bit about the interagency effort. How do you coordinate efforts? Because I think there's 7 or 8 different partners part of this whole intellectual property complex that you described.
Well, yes, there's 23 members. We have members with the Department of Defense there as well. We work very well with the FBI. Some of the other members are CBP, Customs and Border Protection. The FDA certainly is a major player when it comes to pharmaceuticals. So, again, utilizing everyone's assets and everyone's resources and what they can bring to the table only benefits the federal effort as well as state and local. So, I mean, we work with our state and local partners on a regular basis. Sometimes a prosecution will end up in, you know, going to the state or going to a local community versus it being federal. So it's something that every investigation is different.
And do the other federal agencies tend to designate people specifically for this IP problem?
Absolutely. Not only do they have a representative in Crystal City at the IPR Center, but they also have agents in the field who are working these investigations as well. Like with my agency, Homeland Security and Investigations, we head up the IPR Center, and we have many dedicated agents out in the field who are regularly working these investigations. It definitely is a priority for us.
And this being the Christmas holidays shopping season, do you plan on a public relations or some kind of a public word getting out campaign to cover this?
Absolutely, and I appreciate your efforts here. And what we need to do is target the consumer, because I like to say the consumer is the problem. If you take away the appetite, we wouldn't have this issue. But the consumer can also be the solution and has to be the solution. So education, education, education. Target the consumer, target the consumer, target the consumer. Make them more knowledgeable about counterfeits, which is exactly what we're doing here today.
And will you be staging some of those grind-up sessions, you know, for the TV cameras?
Well, we do television media, absolutely. We just did some of our special agents in charge around the country just recently did a lot of television media because of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So, yeah, that's absolutely one of our avenues of getting the word out to the consumer.